on today's episode.
And I think that's the pro-life message there is really so many people advocating for abortion or choosing abortion, thinking, well, it'll just be better if this life never enters the world. And they have no idea the difference that that child could make growing up in the world.
Welcome to the Life Challenges podcast from Christian Life Resources. People today face many opportunities and struggles when it comes to issues of life and death, marriage and family, health and science. We're here to bring a fresh biblical perspective to these issues and more. Join us now for Life Challenges.
Welcome back. I'm Krista Potratz, and I am here with Pastors Bob Fleischman and Jeff Samuelson. Today, we have a real fun episode. At least, I think it's really fun. We are going to be talking about the inadvertently pro-life messages of Hollywood and pop culture. When we think about Hollywood right away, I would just think, oh, pro-abortion. Hands down, pro-abortion. There's nothing really pro-life about it. I think the really neat thing, too, and this topic, actually, I can't really take too much credit for the idea of it, really came from Jeff here. But this idea that maybe when you start pulling back some of the layers in Hollywood, too, you will find that there is a pro-life message in Hollywood, but it seems to really be lost and covered up by the pro-abortion agenda. So Jeff, maybe we'll just start with you first. What did you think when you thought about this inadvertent pro-life messaging in Hollywood?
It's really just trying to point out the fact that although, I mean, certainly just about every decision maker or influencer that you could think of in Hollywood, in movies or TV, is probably going to be on the pro-choice side in regards to abortion. It's simply not going to have our kind of pro-life Christian values about things. But the hard reality, both of economics and commerce, and also simply the reality of how people live and think and feel, means that despite their personal or political leanings, and despite perhaps the occasional really stridently pro-abortion movie or TV show that's out there, that most of the messaging that comes out of Hollywood is actually kind of pro-life, in that, you know, if a character in a movie, a woman gets pregnant, she almost always refers to it as a baby. She doesn't say, I currently have a clump of tissue growing inside me and we have to decide what we're going to do about it. She says, no, I'm going to have a baby. If they're deciding, well, whether, you know, they should keep it or not, it's like, well, they start talking about it as a child. What will it be like to have a child? And so the storylines, the plot lines, they're always treating it really as a life within that woman's womb. And even when abortion is mentioned as a choice, almost always they end up having the baby because it makes for a better story. Generally speaking, audiences like it. If a woman is pregnant, they like to see what follows that pregnancy, meaning a baby, particularly if it's a character they care about. They don't like the idea, generally speaking, of saying, oh yeah, this woman that I really was interested in, I was sympathetic to and everything. Yeah, she got pregnant, but, I guess, you know, we wanted to see what the baby was going to be like, but no, just generally, for commercial reasons, Hollywood is going to make sure that a woman who gets pregnant in one of their shows ends up having that baby. And they're certainly not setting out to say, we're going to give a pro-life message here. But what they're really showing is that culture, humanity, life itself is pro-life in that sense.
And there's a strong economic underpinning of that, and that the film has to sell, and very overtly pro-life films, very overtly pro-abortion films might get some critical acclaim from their own camps, but generally they're not the big money earners. Mm-hmm. I actually, on a tangent, the Wall Street Journal was talking about the Marvel Universe has introduced a love scene now in it, and there's something like 18 feature films in the Marvel Universe. And this is the first time they've done it. They've suggested a love tension between characters, but now they put it in. And the only reason they would do that is they believe that it wouldn't harm the financial bottom line, and it might help the bottom line. The problem with Hollywood, even though it's horribly liberal, generally the public doesn't like the topic. You know, they don't like the topic of abortion, so they're not going to make a lot of money. You're going to get a few independent filmmakers who are going to get some money to make a film to make their point, but it's not going to be making money. And it's usually kind of tragic. The movie Unplanned, which is a pro-life film, the actress, frequently part of her public speaking on the film, is that because of her pro-life views, she gets isolated from mainstream acting in Hollywood. And that seems to be very true. There seems to be a strong bias or strong prejudice against people who have strong pro-life views, as we sometimes sense with strong Christian views.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the creators behind it have a certain kind of progressive mindset. But I think the reason you see that on the media is that it just doesn't sell. It has its own camp and they love it, but it's not going to give you doesn't have the broadest appeal.
So we are going to talk about some films now that are maybe inadvertently pro-life. They weren't made really with the mindset of being a pro-life film, but there definitely is pro-life messaging in them. One of them is, well, Bob, I'll have you talk about maybe the film Juno.
Yeah, in the film Juno, there actually was an interesting scene where the main character realizes she's pregnant, and her good friend is pro-life, and she's involved in pro-life marches, and they get talking about the little fingers and the kind of the standard talk that comes out in pro-life film, and how the Juno character kind of seems to be touched by that information, but also is trying to portray kind of the flippantness of being a high school girl who really wasn't thinking along these lines. And so Juno has that. Juno's interesting for a variety of reasons in terms of it tries to handle a variety of questions about how does the boy play into the abortion decision? How does the mother play into the abortion, the parents, and so forth? And so Juno, and I saw the film a long time ago, but I found it fascinating. It wasn't nearly as offensive as I thought it would be. In contrast to that, if you watch Cider House Rules, which has a beautiful score to it, Cider House Rules is a beautiful score, but it clearly is portraying abortion in the best possible light.
Another film on my list here is the movie A Quiet Place. We have John Krasinski from The Office and Emily Blunt that are in the film. And this one is a movie about they live in a time where any sound will trigger maybe an alien comes out and then you die, basically. But in this place of this horribleness, they decide to have a baby. And so bringing this idea of bringing life into the world when it is just terrible for a baby and really have, and then just in the movie, they really have to figure out, okay, how when she goes into labor and has to scream or make sounds, how are they going to deal with that? But this whole idea of really trying to live even if the conditions are terrible.
Without trying to give away much of the plot, I'd say there's also a really strong theme in there of being willing to sacrifice life for life, protecting it in that way. That's another pro-life message there.
Mm-hmm. And that's continued on in Quiet Place, too.
That I have not seen yet.
Yeah. So. No spoilers.
Another movie is the Amy Adams movie Arrival, too. I saw that a few years back. And that one is maybe a little bit more difficult to not spoil, per se. So if you haven't seen it, but Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. quick turn on a radio station or something for a moment.
If you haven't seen Arrival, I'm about to spoil the film here. But basically, in this movie, you see all these flashbacks. But at the end of the movie, you realize that they're actually flash forwards. So in the flashbacks, that she has a child, the child dies. And then you realize, oh, she hasn't had the child yet. But even knowing now that she knows that the child will die, decides to go ahead with the future. So this idea that even though there is going to be suffering, which is one of the big arguments in the pro-abortion side, that if you know that the child's going to suffer, why would you bring the child into the world? But even knowing that, still decides to go through with her pregnancy and everything.
Yeah. I'd like to mention a movie that's not at all a recent movie. It was made before there was really even a pro-life or a pro-choice division in our society, but I don't think most people would really think of as being pro-life, and that's that great Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. What's the whole premise of that? He says, well, it would be better if I had never been born. And then the angel shows him, oh, this is what life would be like if you had never been born, and shows that the world would be a much worse place if he had never been born. And I think that's the pro-life message there is really so many people advocating for abortion or choosing abortion, thinking, well, it'll just be better if this life never enters the world. And they have no idea the difference that child could make growing up in the world. And that's just the height of presumption to say, I know that the world is going to be a better place without my baby than with it.
And the cool thing about that movie, too, is the guy, the main character, he goes through a ton of suffering, and which is why he thinks that the world would be a better place without him. So even all of his suffering made a lot of the situations better, too.
Well, it's a great topic for another podcast when we get into talking about other benefits of suffering, because George Bailey and suffering and It's a Wonderful Life, it wasn't always all about him. And, you know, a lot of times they'll say, well, it's going to be a hardship on the mother and everything. Sometimes it's not all about them. It's about what the child may do. And so I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's kind of one of those necessary movies for me to watch. I've often been into, when you talk about the impact that lives have, I've always liked time travel movies. Now, some people either love them or hate them. I love them. And I always love visions of if you change something in the past. And so all of a sudden they change something in the past. She doesn't have a sister in the future, or she had a sister in the past, or things like that. And I think it's thought-provoking because the children, now I have three younger brothers, and I think the world is richer for those three younger brothers, more so for some than others, maybe, or at least that's what I like to tell them. But I think an underlying theme of some of these movies is that every life does count, which is kind of like Horton Hears a Who, which is an old timeless child thing. I remember that the estate of Dr. Seuss didn't like it being tied to the abortion issue, because pro-life people use it. We always use it all the time. When we had people visit our office, we oftentimes, if they had a little kid, we'd throw on Horton Hears a Who and let the little kid watch it while we give a tour of the office and so forth. But it really was a person's a person no matter how small.
Right, right.
It was a great theme.
Yeah, and the movie that came out back in 2008, too, had some really big names in the movie as well, like Jim Carrey, Steve Carell, Karen Burnett. I mean, all these people were in this film. And yeah, I just a very strong underlying pro-life message that even if you can't see it, but you know that it's there, you care about it.
Mm-hmm. A number of the movies that have been mentioned have been science fiction movies, some more so than others. But I'm thinking mainly of the Star Trek TV series, various ones. What is this? They come across some new life form or something that might just possibly be a life form. And they have this prime directive that says, no, we can't kill it. We have to respect it. We have to let it go its way, even if it's at some cost to us or might be a threat to us in the future. And of course, you know, we watch that and we say, okay, so you're willing to have that respect for something that's completely alien. Well, what about the respect for the life that is within the womb, or for that matter, the respect for the life that is in a hospital room somewhere, barely hanging on to life, but you've decided it isn't worth living? Science fiction allows us to deal with so many of these ethical questions, but sometimes when they think they're thinking big, we're able to say, aha, see, there's something that shows that you actually know the truth about life and the value we should place on it. You're just missing it in these other areas of your life.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I don't know. First of all, I thought it was kind of humorous because you said, yeah, we're talking about all these science fiction movies, but then there's Star Trek. I thought, okay, good. Now we're talking reality here. Okay. But I mean, as a big Star Trek fan all of my life, Star Trek, of course, has always had full of ethical dilemmas and brought out profound points on the value of life. But it got me thinking while you were kind of explaining that as I think of science fiction movies I've watched and enjoyed and everything, terminating the life of your unborn child, if it's a reference, if it's involved in a movie, it's always in a dystopian. In other words, it's always the worst. A culture that, I think part of it is because a culture of death has difficulty knowing where to draw the line. When abortion was legalized across the United States in 1973, people were saying, it's a small leap in logic to go from taking life inside of the womb to taking life outside of the womb. And then you've got it. You've got assisted suicide. So you got a Star Trek episode where we don't have a war. Actually, we determined that we hit a city and there were 2,000 casualties. And so they just go into extermination booths and they're exterminated. And how ridiculous it looks to us until you realize that's actually the direction we're heading. It's rather than messing up things for everybody, let's just be efficient about it. And I think that there must be something drawn, and I haven't fully articulated in my mind, but when science fiction avoids topics like abortion, or when they get into those topics, they're always on a negative tone. In other words, this is society, you know, where children are not appreciated, not wanted. They're always a negative thing. Gattaca was like a 1995 movie, something like that, 94, 95. But it talks about a future in which people pick out the characteristics. And when a child is born, they can take a blood sample and they will know right away what problems they're going to have, chances of survival, all that kind of stuff. And they basically are saying in that movie, you have a responsibility to do this testing and so forth, so that you contribute positively to society. That's what I mean. When you got topics like abortion and everything, it always has this dark, ominous overtone when you get into futuristic movies.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other inadvertently pro-life films?
Just about any movie that has been made dealing with Nazi Germany and the Holocaust that dealt with any kind of honesty or such, we watch those movies and we are supposed to be offended, disgusted, and everything. Why? Because of the disregard for human life that was demonstrated by the Nazis. That's the kind of thing that should make people, and especially Christians, say, "Well, wow, if that was so evil and so easily recognizable as evil, what about similar evils in our own society? Maybe we should feel the same way about those, even if we don't have goose-stepping goons going around and putting people into concentration camps. Maybe there are other things that we should be looking at in the same way."
Well, and then just to add to our discussion a little bit here, there are some films, though, that are more advertently pro-life, that do have strong pro-life messages that we want to mention here. One of them is, Bob, I think you mentioned it already, the movie Unplanned. It's a story of Abby Johnson, who worked at an abortion facility. And she had abortions too, but then just about how her mindset changed, and then just her story of getting out of that place.
And almost all of the real strong pro-life movies are almost like biographical. They tend to cover a story, or cover a true event. Gosnell is probably...
Yeah.
Gosnell was one of them.
I just recently watched Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer, that has Dean Cain, the previous Superman from the 90s, in it. And I thought it was a very good film. It was well written and had very good acting. And I'd highly recommend it. It's a very disturbing story, but they do a good job of it. It's PG-13. They do a good job of not really showing things. But it's about a doctor, Kermit Gosnell, who worked at an abortion facility and did many, many illegal things, and was caught when they were doing, when there was a detective that was actually going in and trying to do a drug raid or trying to investigate a narcotics ring. And that's how they actually got him. But the film is very good. And there was a book written too, because of all the things that they couldn't put in the movie. And I recently read that too. And that was also very good.
Yeah, I say one of the really powerful things about Gosnell, the movie, was that although certainly it was promoted by the pro-life party, so to speak, it was pretty much just the facts.
Right.
It wasn't preachy. It was, this is what happened. And one of the reasons it wasn't able to get pushed aside by the media in quite the same way some other pro-life movies are, is because they were just dealing with the facts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty straightforward.
One of the most powerful things in the movie, and also, I mean, in the book too, is a quote unquote like good abortion doctor takes the stand, and she is supposed to be just telling, like, kind of what if everything goes right in an abortion, and if there's a clinic that's doing everything right, what does that look like? And it's somewhere in her testimony or the cross-examination where it just really hits you that even a good abortion facility and even a good abortion when everything kind of goes according to plan, you still just can't make that sound good. It just sounds terrible. And even if you call the baby a fetus, and even if you say, you know, you're doing things like giving the baby comfort care, and, you know, you use these things, you just can't make it sound good. And that was just really one of the things that hit me.
And that was the reputation of the film, is that it revealed the underbelly of even mainstream pro-abortion practices, because there is that undeniable element that in the end, all you're doing basically is you're shellacking over the lawful killing of unborn children.
Part of the grotesqueness of it was that the reason he was allowed to continue for so long without any inspections, without any supervision, without anything going on like that, is that the system in place basically said, well, where abortion is concerned, it's completely hands off. We can't step in to regulate, because then that could be seen as an anti-abortion thing. So we're just not going to do anything.
Yep.
And this shows where all that goes.
Right. And that is mentioned in the movie, but really talked about in detail in the book.
Yeah.
And so that really comes out too. Another one is called October Baby. And that is about a girl that finds out that she was adopted. And she was adopted because her mother was trying to abort her. And it was an abortion gone wrong. And so then learning her history, and she's a college student at this point and goes on a journey of finding out things about herself. And so that was pretty good too. And also there's a short film that you can find on YouTube. It's called Crescendo, and it is about a pregnant woman in the late 1700s. Not to give that away, but it's a very powerful short little movie too. So, and then I also watched Roe v. Wade. Have you guys heard of that one? That one was actually pretty hard to find. It recently came out, I think, in 2020. It was supposed to come out, and then COVID delayed it and everything, too. Acting in that was okay. But it's very pro-life, but it really shows a lot of the history of that time. And it features Bernard Nathanson and his story strongly in that movie. So that's another one.
Well, I would be remiss not to plug Finding Home. Finding Home was a 2003 film that we produced, and we had stars in it that are known in Hollywood. But the film basically had this idea of what happens when you live with this pain of having had an abortion, and then a granddaughter starts uncovering all sorts of secrets about her mother and her grandmother, and how it all comes together on this inherited estate on an island. And so I would highly recommend watching it, and I'm not going to give any spoilers away. But Louise Fletcher was in it. She won the Academy Award in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The Geneviève Bujold, who is a famous actress, still is acting. She was in it. It was the last movie made by Jason Miller, who was the priest in The Exorcist, the young priest in The Exorcist. It was his last film. Misha Collins, who was a regular on Supernatural for many years. But there was an undercurrent pro-life theme, which didn't always go well. When we were at the Sarasota Film Festival, a lady came out of the screening spitting mad because she was convinced that this was just trying to portray pro-life values in a positive light and pro-abortion values in a negative light. Forbid the thought that the other side would ever do that.
But yeah.
That's kind of how it goes. But that movie's Finding Home. It came out in 2003, and you can watch it. It shows up on TV once in a while.
I think that's about all that we have for today. Well, we thank you for joining us this week, and we look forward to having you back next time. See you at the movies.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Life Challenges podcast from Christian Life Resources. Please consider subscribing to this podcast, giving us a review wherever you access it, and sharing it with friends. We're sure you have questions on today's topic or other life issues. Our goal is to help you through these tough topics, and we want you to know we're here to help. You can submit your questions as well as comments or suggestions for future episodes at lifechallenges.us or email us at podcast@christianliferesources.com. In addition to the podcasts, we include other valuable information at lifechallenges.us, so be sure to check it out. For more about our parent organization, please visit ChristianLifeResources.com. May God give you wisdom, love, strength, and peace in Christ for every life challenge.